Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt and Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7:15. We'll get into Tennessee, the quarterback competition that has been won, and a bunch of other things with Mike coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:15. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. So Adam Schefter was on ESPN yesterday, and they were talking about the Browns quarterback situation. And we talked about this a little bit last week with Frank Schwab, just about the amount of attention that the Browns quarterback room and that Shedeur Sanders in particular are getting. And it was announced yesterday that Joe Flacco is going to be the starter for Cleveland. So not that that's a huge surprise. I mean, we've been talking about that for a few weeks, that it feels like Flacco is going to be the guy there. But you are talking about four quarterbacks of Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders, and Kenny Pickett when everybody's healthy. Now, they've dealt with some injuries, and they've had Tyler Huntley in there. I mean, it's been the musical chairs at the quarterback spot so far in training camp for the Cleveland Browns. But this is what Adam Schefter had to say yesterday on NFL Live on ESPN about the Browns, the quarterback room, and how he thinks they're going to handle this when roster cutdown day comes and they got to get the roster down to 53.
And the last thing I want to mention is, even though they named their starter today, we don't know the backup. I expect the Cleveland Browns to carry four quarterbacks.
So they will do that.
Four quarterbacks on their final 53-man roster. Whew. I expect they'll have four there. They're going to keep both rookies. They're going to keep Flacco. So we're really talking about Kenny Pickett.
What about Pickett?
And I expect he makes the roster because quarterbacks
What's
are currency.
What's the windy? Field. When Adam says expect, somebody called him.
Or maybe the Cowboys trade for Kenny Pickett.
Or maybe they – or maybe somebody calls about one of the rookie quarterbacks.
Mm.
Ooh.
So there you go. Schefter's saying that he feels like they're going to keep four quarterbacks on the 53. Flacco, Pickett, Sanders, and Gabriel. I guess the Pickett one is really the one I don't understand in this. Like, when they drafted Sanders, like, that was clearly an ownership pick, right? Like, you could tell by the look on the faces of the Cleveland front office that, you know, Jimmy Haslam looked around and said, well, he's still available in the fifth round. You guys need to go take him. So I think that clearly is the way that went down. And look, Sanders, to his credit, he played well in the one preseason game that we've seen. You know, he got hurt after that, so we'll see what that looks like as he goes forward here. But you got Gabriel that you drafted in the third round. So look, you know Gabriel's going to make the team drafting in the third round. You know, Sanders, I've said this, is, you know, he was drafted in the fifth round. I don't think he's a fifth round type of player. Like, I think Sanders
He's better than
is better than that. So it's not surprising to me that they're keeping both those guys and that Flacco is going to be your starter. I just, like, does Pickett not become a little bit more redundant at that point? Like, you've got your veteran guy in Flacco. You got the two younger guys behind him. My guess is, like, if Flacco doesn't work out and he doesn't play well and Cleveland's out of it at some point, they're probably going to turn to one of those two rookies anyway, right? Like, I doubt very seriously they're going from Flacco, and then it doesn't work 10 games in. They're like, well, Kenny Pickett. Let's throw Kenny Pickett out there. It's probably going to be Flacco, and let's throw Shedeur Sanders out there, or let's throw Dylan Gabriel out there, or whatever it is. So I'm interested to see how they handle that. If they decide to keep all four, does anybody call and want to trade for Kenny Pickett? Like, the, you know, the moment they drafted Shedeur Sanders after they had just drafted Gabriel in the third round, that quarterback room became really, really interesting. And trying to navigate all that with your 53-man roster and trying to hold on to four quarterbacks at the same time, that part of it's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I guess I just don't really understand. The only purpose that Kenny Pickett serves right now is to block up an opportunity for Shedeur, Dylan, Gabriel. And I don't think the Browns are going to be very good this year. Joe Flacco is kind of just a placeholder starter. Like, he's just kind of carrying it to see what you got. And then I think he's 40, so I don't know how much gas he's got left in him. If he goes out, my you're right. My guess is they're probably going to turn to Shador or Dillon Gabriel. So I don't understand why they would take four quarterbacks and probably only play two of them. Plus, I think there's that NFL rule where you can carry three quarterbacks and make one an emergency. How would that work for four? Would you make two of the four emergency players and fill up that hole for another position of need? Like, that's one less defensive lineman you're taking or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, too, with Flacco. Like, Flacco had a good run 2 years ago with Cleveland, obviously. And he got him to the playoffs, and then the playoff game was a total disaster against the Texans. He was with Indy last year, and it didn't go very well. Like, they, you know, they benched Richardson last year at one point. They put Flacco in, and I think he went 2-4 as the starter. He threw for 12 touchdowns, 7 picks, 1,700 yards. Like, he was okay. He's 40. Like, in that roster, you know, it needs work. It's not a horrible roster.
Their wide receiver one?
That's a good question.
Cleveland is
Jerry Jeudy or Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I think it is Jeudy, actually.
Oh, no,
I think
Amari Cooper was Buffalo. There. Jerry Jeudy, yeah.
I think it's Jeudy, and I'm not sure that's ideal.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, but is he like a game-breaker type guy? And, you know, their defense, obviously led by Myles Garrett. Like, when you've got Myles Garrett out there, you're gonna get after the quarterback. So, like, it's not – for as bad as they are, it's not a horrendous roster. It's just been so devoid of good quarterback play that it's been hard to maximize. And that's why people are talking about Stefanski a lot. Like, I believe Stefanski's a good coach, but, you know, the Deshaun Watson contract has just totally nuked him. Yeah. And it's just been impossible to overcome. So, look, I don't have very high expectations for Flacco at age 40.
No.
Stepping into that job. I am – if and when they have to make that transition this year, I am going to be interested to see where they go. Because clearly their front office, like Dillon Gabriel, I mean, they took him in the third round. Shador Sanders was sitting right there, mm-hmm. and they took Gabriel. So does he get the first look? Like, is Gabriel going to get the first chance if Flacco's not the guy? Is it going to be Sanders that gets the first chance? Are they actually going to go from Flacco to Kenny Pickett? Like, are all four of them going to start games for the Browns this year? That's
absolutely
real. I've never seen a quarterback situation quite like this one heading into an NFL season.
It really just does not make sense to me. Like, I think you know what Kenny Pickett is too. Like, I don't think he's much better than Joe Flacco. So, and obviously he's not, because we're talking about him getting cut. The Browns aren't going to come out and say that they want to move on from Kenny Pickett, because then that tanks their leverage. I think they're waiting to see who gives them a call about what maybe they move off of one of the rookie quarterbacks, although I think Kenny Pickett is more likely. It's just such a confusing situation to me. Four quarterbacks, and I mean, obviously I expected them to start Flacco. He's the veteran with the most experience, and they feel like he gives them the best chance to win. Every team wants to win to start the NFL season. But I think they're quickly going to figure out that they're not that good, and they're going to be out of it pretty quickly. So, yeah, you're right. I'm very, very curious to see where they go after that.
Well, the other part of this, like, Pickett hadn't been able to play. Like,
he's been hurt.
He's had that hamstring injury that he's been dealing with, and he's not been out there. And look, you know,
I do wonder if a team gets desperate.
Yeah.
If they get a training camp injury and you need a backup, do you want Kenny Pickett?
Right. And, you know, like, you're probably not going to have to give up a ton to go get him either, if that's the point, if that's the, you know, that's the other part of that. So, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting situation that they've got brewing here. And I think everybody's just kind of waiting for the Flacco shoe to drop. And it's like, you hear Browns fans talking, it's like, all right, at what point is Flacco going to be out and Shador going to be in? Like, when is it going to happen? Is it week 3? Is it week 8? Is it week 12? Like, when is that going
to
happen?
Because they're going to have to keep them all on the active roster, right? Because
yeah.
You can't risk moving someone to the practice squad.
And somebody gets snatched up.
You can't, especially if it's Gabriel or Sanders.
Exactly.
You're not going to do that, because someone would take them.
Yeah.
But
so it's quite the
carrying
conundrum.
Four quarterbacks on your active roster every week.
You're sacrificing just a spot somewhere else. Yeah, like it's a really interesting situation that they're in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Vols with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Vols, and to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm really happy to be on here. I mean, I'm so sad Joe's not here, but he's at the greatest place on earth, so I totally understand.
Yeah, it's Sparty lives on up there. I'm sure you are happy to be on when he's not on. Probably a bonus for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd rather be hanging out with him at Peanut Barrel or Crunchies in East Lansing, but, you know, not at 8 a.m., of course, but in the 8 p.m. hour. But, yeah, no, this will suffice for now.
Absolutely, good stuff. So, Mike, Tennessee has named their starting quarterback, Joey Aguilar, which is not a huge surprise. But you do, like, you watch his tape at Appalachian State, you look at the numbers, he has thrown a lot of interceptions in his career, and you look at Heupel and the quarterbacks that he's had, and there's not a lot of interceptions that have been thrown. So kind of that balance is going to be really interesting to me this year to see how that plays out. What do you make of Joey Aguilar being named the starting quarterback for Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, I think it had to be the choice. He's obviously the really experienced player, the guy who's been in college for a good minute and played a lot of football, and right away that puts you ahead. He also brings some mobility there, some playmaking. The interceptions are a thing that people know about, but it's just honing that aggressiveness, right? Like, it's putting that in the right place. And Josh Heupel talked about that last week. You do have to throw the ball in the tight windows. Like, that's going to be a thing that has to be done as part of this offense. But it's hitting the window, not missing the window. And, I think Joey Aguilar was the front runner going in. Makes sense. They had some battle there with a couple guys who – you know, we're here in the spring, and Jake Merklinger was here last year, but it's not a shock that Joey Aguilar edged out this early on in the process.
So, kind of building on that, you look at the offense, they've lost a lot of starters from last year. There's a lot of, you know, unproven spots on this team, and if you want to look at the offensive line, you can look at wide receiver. Obviously, you know, quarterback, we'll see what the step up in competition looks like for Aguilar. But just in general with the offense, how are you feeling about it heading into the season? Now just a couple of weeks away from the Syracuse game.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to start at quarterback was one of the questions, but now there's other questions on the offense, and, you know, wide receivers foremost on that. I thought that unit was no good last year.
Yeah.
And then they obviously lost Dante Thornton, Brew McCoy, Squirrel White to the portal, a couple other kind of fringe guys to the portal. The depth there is not really existent. You're obviously counting on Mike Matthews becoming a star, which he was a five-star recruit, so you hope that comes around. I mean, Chris Brazel's back. I think he had 29-ish catches last year. So that's your leading returning receiver. And then it's a bunch of youth, redshirt freshmen and freshmen. So what are you going to get out of that position? I think you feel good about what you've got at running back. I think the offensive line has a shot. It's a lot of turnover, but I think it's got a shot to be good. I think tight end's got a shot to be good too. I think Miles Kitzelman's a pro, and there's a couple of young guys there that are going to contribute, but it's wide receiver to me. Can the wide receivers be better than last year with way less than last year?
Mike, focusing in on the running back room, you have three players at that position that I think are capable of running an offense in the backfield. How do you think that room sort of elevates the offense when the wide receiver room is struggling, and maybe if your quarterback is even struggling?
Oh, I mean, you can make an argument that Dylan Sampson's, you know, the reason Tennessee got to the playoff last year. I mean, obviously the defense was tremendous, and that was the core reason. But when you're talking about the offense, the offensive reason is Dylan Sampson. Dylan Sampson covered up a multitude of weaknesses. I mean, I know it's punching down now that Nico transferred, but there was a reality that Nico was very poor last year in big games, and I think that's been more readily accepted by Tennessee fans since he left. But it was pretty clear as the season was going on that he was lackluster in big games. But Dylan Sampson covered up those issues at wide receiver as well. He was so good. So I think when you look at this year with Deshaun Bishop probably being the guy, Peyton Lewis, Star Thomas, you got Dwayne Morris as a really good freshman. Like that group has a chance to be the backbone of the offense like Dylan Sampson was last year. And Josh Heupel's cool with it. He's said it since he got hired. and people talk about his offense, want to run the ball, want to be balanced. And they've got a shot, I think, to run the ball really well because that's a good group of running backs. You got experience with Star Thomas, physicality with Peyton Lewis, and Deshaun Bishop's a nice little balance there. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what that group does.
So, Mike, Tennessee football announcing again that the tickets for 2026 are going to have an average of a 4% increase. I think it was like 4.5 from 24 to 25. It'll be 4 from 25 to 26. So another price increase. Saw a lot of reaction to that on social media yesterday from Tennessee fans. What do you make of all that? What do you make of the statement that Danny White put out there and the reaction from Tennessee fans?
Yeah, I mean, 4% is about the norm, it feels like, at this point for increases. Like you said, it was 4.5 last year. I think basketball went up 6.5 year over year on average, but there was some other math worked out in there of kind of bringing it to being equal across sections. That's kind of expected at this point. I mean, Tennessee isn't the most expensive ticket in the SEC. They're among them, but there's also the reality that Tennessee's been pretty dang good the past few years in terms of winning games. So you're paying for good football, you're paying for good teams, and it is the era of revenue, and everyone knows it. That's like it or not, like that's the era that everyone's in. And that's, you know, Adidas is a thing at Tennessee now. Like it's a revenue era, yeah. And tickets are part of that. But there's also a reality here for Tennessee. Fans are renewing their tickets. I think it was like a 98% renewal from 2024 to 2025 or something like that. So fans want in. I mean, people are staying on this. There's a waiting list. So it's also a game of supply and demand, and it's in the right direction for Tennessee right now.
So, Mike, you bring up the deal with Adidas. You know, I'm interested to get your thoughts on that from not only the football perspective but from the entire kind of athletic department. What do you think this deal will do for them just in terms of maybe recruiting, NIL expectations, all those things?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a big deal just from the revenue standpoint. And I think with the way that Tennessee kind of talked about it, and I saw some national reporters talking about it, like I think Ross Dellinger specifically, like this is kind of the new arms race in a way. You know, it was facilities for so long before players got paid, but now you're pointing to this and saying, well, this is an influx of cash. And in a cash-driven era, that's really valuable. So that's part of it. The NIL stuff's a big deal. I mean, that's obviously something at the forefront of what Tennessee and Adidas worked out. Adidas preached that. They've got resources there. I don't know the impact on recruiting necessarily. I thought Josh Heupel had a great comment last week when asked about it, of just being like, I don't know of a guy who's chosen a school based on the apparel deal. That said, if I had been a good athlete in high school in the mid-2000s, I probably would have gone to Oregon for their apparel deal.
Oh, nice.
So, but again, I wasn't that. So no real athletes have chosen that Josh Heupel knows of. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a good deal for Tennessee. I understand the reaction to some because people love Nike. This was an absolute no-brainer, no choice about it. Tennessee, you made this move.
So, Mike, circling back on the roster in football, you had some question marks last year on the offensive line, but this year it seems to be more reinforced. You bring in one of the top true freshmen in David Sanders. How can the offensive line gel together and be an effective unit this season?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee needed to turn that over. They lost a lot from last season, and the unit was good, not great. I thought Lance Hurd, to me, is where it starts now,
yep.
Left tackle. And you know, he's shed 25 pounds. He's healthy. He feels more like the player he came into Tennessee to be. If he's that's a big deal because he struggled last year. And I think that was largely due to physical health and weight gain due to physical health. So we'll see what that brings about. But, you know, you went out and got two interior guys and Wendell Moe Jr., Sam Pendleton. They're probably going to start left guard, center. You really feel good about those guys, as guys who played football at a high level. Jesse Perry looks like the guy at right guard, at least to open the season. Young guy, that should be good. David Sanders at right tackle. So I think you kind of know the 5-6 guys you're going to have involved. William Satterwhite's probably that sixth. So you know the guys who are going to be involved. I think you feel good about where they line up. It's a different group. I mean, Tennessee turned over 4 of those spots, and that might be for the better in the end because I think they've upgraded at least 2 of those positions. So we'll see how it looks once the games get going, but I think it's got a shot to be a good unit.
So, Mike, last thing for you. Like, just generally looking at this team, I think there are a lot of people around the country expecting to take a significant step back. I mean, you may be in the 7-5, 8-4 type range, and it starts with the Nico conversation, obviously. I'm looking at the schedule, though, and, like, they're going to be favored in all but probably three games. Like, probably Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, they will not be. And other than that, they're probably going to be favored. So, like, if you're 9-3, 10-2, you're going to be in that conversation. So, with kind of all that in the backdrop, what do you think is fair in terms of expectations for this group this year?
Well, I will say this. I don't know if Nico and Joey subbing in the way that it did changes Tennessee's outlook this season because, and again, this is something I think that's been more readily accepted since Nico transferred. The guy didn't cover up weaknesses. Yep. Like he didn't make your team – he didn't make the wide receivers better by elevating their play, and you want that out of a quarterback. You want a quarterback who brings the best out of people and makes them into different players. If they're an 86 on EA Sports College Football – they make them into a 90, right? Like that's what you want out of a player there. So I don't know if the outlook's much different, in my opinion. I think you're pretty right on there with those three games. Probably Arkansas, Oklahoma are those swing games on that schedule, but Tennessee gets both of them at home. And that's a big part of this. Tennessee's schedule lines up nicely, despite the fact it's Florida, Alabama on the road, like it is every other year with that. So it's a schedule that I think plays well. Obviously, Syracuse is the opener on the neutral site in Atlanta. That's a winnable game. You go to Kentucky. But again, I think, yeah, when you look at it, there's three games there that you're like, those are tough games. Then there's a couple where you think, all right, well, those are the games that make the difference between 7-5, 9-3, and you get them both at home. So other than that, it's don't mess up throughout the rest of the season. You feel good about where you're at.
Well, Mike, really good stuff. I'm sorry that you didn't quite make it for the Oregon full scholarship offer back in the day. but we appreciate that you're joining us, and we love your perspective every time you're on, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, joining you guys is better than the scholarship to Oregon any day of the week.
He said it. Clip it up. That's right. Mike Wilson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what Mike had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Vols. A lot of Vols fans upset about the increase and season ticket prices. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Appreciate Mike Wilson for being with us in the last segment. And he brought up a price increase there. So Danny White, Tennessee Athletic Director, sent an email out yesterday to season ticket holders. And it talked about an increase of an average of 4% across Neyland Stadium for the 2026 season. So they increased roughly 4.5% from 2024 to 2025, and now another 4% from 2025 to 2026 is coming. White said, quote, "Our goal is to give you ample to plan effectively to take advantage of extended payment options and continue supporting Tennessee football with confidence." Now, as Mike pointed out in the last segment, there's a waiting list for season tickets, the 10% talent fee, which got introduced last year, will also be in effect as when. So you're talking about a talent fee that's there, an increase in just the actual price itself that's going on. Tennessee's got to deal with Adidas, so they got that money coming in. So a lot of money flowing around up there in Knoxville. Danny White has made no secret about it. That's a big goal of his, is to really stockpile the athletic department with money. But Tennessee fans are pretty upset, at least the loud ones, on social media about yet another cost that they're having to incur. They are having to incur on this front. So, Connor, what do you make of this? What do you make of what is continuing to be more and more expensive for the average sports fan to go out there and watch some football games if you want to?
I mean, I get it. It's frustrating as a fan of college sports. I get it. But you also got to think we're in this new age of college football where you are quite literally, your ticket money and the money you spend on apparel is quite literally going into the pocket of the program. that becomes NIL money. That becomes money that is repurposed to grab recruits and all these other great things you love. And I liked that Mike mentioned the Adidas deal, because I think that is huge for the program of Tennessee. Not that a apparel deal is going to recruit players, but that gives you what? They were making $5 million annually.
That gives you money. There.
They're making $5 million annually with Nike. They're making $20 million annually now with Adidas. That gives you a lot more money and a lot more ways to broaden your horizons and grab these recruits across all sports. So I think while it is frustrating for the fan, for the common man that wants to go to Neyland Stadium and watch a game, or Thompson Bowling Arena, sorry, Food City Center, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
which I have come out of victorious of that building.
I'm sure.
While it is frustrating for the common people to go see a game in that stadium or for their program, I understand why, because you're trying to make as much money and increase the revenue of your program as possible. It's just kind of the state of college athletics at this point.
Well, bottom line is as long as people are paying it, they're going to keep doing it, right?
Yep.
Like as long as there's a waiting list, and as long as people are making money out here, and the athletic department is still in high demand, and specifically the football team is in high demand in terms of season ticket interest and all those things, like, it's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. I'm not going to be surprised when we're reading a story this time a year from now, and it's so Danny White sent out an email about an average of 4% increase across Neyland Stadium from 26 to 27.
I mean, especially
what it is,
especially when you're good across all sports. Like, football is obviously a traditional program that has come back on the rise since Josh Heupel's come here. Rick Barnes has surged basketball, and then your baseball team just won a national championship 2 years ago. So I get it. It's the price of being a good team. Or a good program.
Yeah, well, for sure. And you know, we know that football is king around there. Now, what is interesting about this, and I think this has led to kind of this discussion on Tennessee Twitter a little bit, which is, all right, well, you've got the new deal with Adidas that's coming next year. You've got this 10% talent fee that you're charging us, which, again, is not uncommon around college sports.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing now. But you've got all these things happening. You got this huge apparel deal with Adidas. You better see a payoff for it, right? Like, if you're a Tennessee fan, and I'm honing in really on football right here, but like, football has been under Heupel like a top 10 type of recruiting base, right? Like, it's top 10. Some years are 12th. I think right now they're like right on the edge of 9th, 10th, depending on where you look at. Like, well, if you got all these talent fees and you got the new deal with Adidas coming in, there are Tennessee fans that look at it and say, "Yeah, top 10's not good enough. You better get in the top 5
of
recruiting." Like, if you got all this money and Adidas is supposed to make this big of a difference with NIL and all these other things you're talking about, well, we better see it. You better get out there and get yourself a top 5 recruiting class. So, like, that part of it is going to be really interesting in terms of, it's one thing to raise the money, and like, Danny White has done a good job of that, and I know that there's a segment of all Twitter that does not like Danny White for doing all this stuff. But, like, I get it. Like, it's expensive, but that's the price of doing business nowadays. But, like, I also understand the Tennessee fan part of it, which is like, well, if you're doing all these things, you better compete. Like, you better get out there and, like, making the college football playoff should not just be a one-off thing. Like, you better get back in there. And you better do something with it when you get there. So that part of it is going to be, as the Adidas deal kicks in and as the price increases continue to go up, you're going to have fans screaming that from the mountaintops of, we better get some payoff for this if this is what you guys are going to do.
Well, I'm sure you also have fans that are saying, well, they have all these donors and millionaires that are pouring money into this program. Why do they need to increase ticket prices? And I'm to that I respond, why don't you? You want to make as much money as possible. And I understand it, especially with the new age of college football. Tennessee's not the only program in the nation doing this. Kentucky just did it. Kentucky just raised their student ticket prices by like $200. So, for a season, that is, not single one games. But I understand it. What I respond to fans that are mad about it is, if you don't want to pay it, don't pay it. But don't be mad when someone else next in line does pay it, because obviously this isn't going away. This is the state of college athletics. And if you want to get in, then that's just a price you have to pay.
Michael says, the fans wanted a better product. The fans said, pay the players. Who did they expect would pay for the players? Surprise! It's the fans. Universities aren't paying out of the kindness of their hearts. The price gets passed on to us. And, yeah, I mean, look, there's a bunch of things that have happened here. I mean, you've had the house settlement. You've got revenue sharing coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole lot of things that are kind of being added to the plate here of not just traditional NIL that really hasn't been in place for all that long either. Like, there's a whole lot of things that are happening all at once here. And you got these huge apparel deals now, and I'm sure Tennessee and Adidas won't be the last one. Like, you're going to see these things continue to get churned out.
Yeah.
In different spots over the next few years, and people switching and priority shifting from these companies and where they're spending their money. So there's all that kind of in the backdrop of it here. But again, like, you know, I think the waiting list for Tennessee is what, 25,000 deep, something like that.
Yeah.
So
they're not starving for
attendance.
If you
believe that number, like, that's roughly what they're looking at. So as long as there is that level of interest and that level of demand, some of it is just as simple as supply and demand out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a business. It's not just a high school football game where you get in there for $5 to see your kid play. This is college athletics, which is slowly turning into professional sports. Minor leagues of some sort. Good on Adidas, though, for getting that deal done, because now Adidas has, like, a premier program football-wise. Basketball, they have a top program. I would still argue Kansas is probably the lead horse in basketball for Adidas, but now Adidas, football-wise, you have a traditional program in Tennessee, and, I mean, other than, like, maybe Nebraska, which hasn't been relevant in 20 years, I can't really think of anyone else that reps Adidas that's that prominent like Tennessee is.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes at 745. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Elsa, what's the snowman name?
Olaf.
Olaf.
Am I a clown to you, Mike?
Joe, how far do you throw this golf ball, you reckon?
If my zipper's up, I feel like I'm in style.
You know, it's kind of like being half pregnant. You know, forget that. We're all in. So we're fully pregnant now.
There's soil everywhere.
If I ever could choke some cartoon characters, it'd be them.
And Kristoff.
All them.
I've got other words I can say, but I'm going to hold those off. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning here on the show, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. We'll have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 8 o'clock. So I want to comment today. We had some people asking about this yesterday, so I figured I'd just go ahead and rant about it, because why not? I feel like I'm going to be ranting about this for the end of time. So the Big Ten has reportedly considered an idea of expanding the college football playoff to either 24 or 28 teams. And, you know, Pete Thamel, among others, came out with this the other day and started talking about this and said, oh, well, the idea, very early stages, but it's not like the, you know, they've gone very far down the road on this, but the idea would basically eliminate conference title games and offers just an absolute ton of automatic bids for Power Four League. So we've talked about the automatic bid part of this. It's annoying. The Big Ten, I guess, is just not going to let this go when it comes to how many automatic bids that they want. But I just want to start on this. You know, I remember when we had the conversation about expanding the playoff from 4 to 12, which I hated at the time and still hate, but I have accepted that it has gone to 12 and that 12 is what it is. And honestly, the 12-team playoff last year, it was fine. I didn't think it was great, but it was fine. I'd like to see him just hang out at 12 for a little while here and see how it goes. I know that that's not going to happen, and that not too far in the distant future, we're getting to 16 one way or the other. If they go beyond 16, I may have to quit doing this job. I might. I just cannot stand it. And I remember one thing I said when we talked about expanding the playoff from 4 to 12 was it will never be enough for these people. It will never be enough. If you expand it to 12, the 13th, 14th, 15th place teams are going to feel like they're the ones that are on the outs.
Yep.
And they're going to whine about it. And some conference is going to whine about it. If it gets to 16, you're going to keep whining about it to the point where the Big Ten is already thinking about 24, 28. Like, think about that for a second. A 24 or 28 team playoff in college football.
If you are ranked, you are getting it.
It makes me physically sick.
For rich people,
to think about
it's this. Never enough.
Well, it's
just never enough. Always want more.
But does there not have to, though, it come a point here at some point along the way where you look at it and say, we are totally destroying our product? Like, the idea of a 24 or 28 team playoff. And look, I am hopeful that this is just some stupid cockamamie idea that some random person in the Big Ten has concocted in their head, and that it's nothing more than that, and that there's not going to be any ounce of serious consideration given to this by the Big Ten or elsewhere. But I wouldn't be surprised, because it's never enough. Like, it's never enough for these people. And it's, as a college football fan, like, look, there are things in my sporting fandom that I love. I love the NFL. I really like the NBA, especially when my team's in it with the Heat. Like, I like watching. I love going to a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah.
But if I had to hand pick the two things in sports that I love the most, it's the college football season and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Those are the two things in sports that I just absolutely love.
Poor golf.
The absolute most. Golf is in there too, but it's a long season. So there are certain things about those things that have always mattered. The regular season in college football has always mattered. And that has been what separated it from a lot of different things. And if they get, first off, if they get to 16, much less 24 or 28, you're talking about a regular season. It just gets so diluted at that point.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate this. The fact that they are even mentioning 24 or 28 in the same sentence as college football playoff expansion makes me physically ill, and I hope at some point common sense prevails, but it hasn't yet, so nope. I don't know why I think it's going to at some point.
No, I mean, we're on our way to 16. It's imminent, I think, and I think it's dumb that we're expanding in the first place. I'm with you. I'm used to the 12-team playoff now. I've accepted it, but I still don't like it. I miss the 4-team when the regular season was special. There was very little to no margin of error. And I think that goes across for all sports, too. Like the NCAA tournament in basketball, they're talking about expanding it to 76 to 80 teams. So why don't we just let everyone in? Why doesn't every team that has a winning record just get in at this point?
One thing the NFL has done has changed the way leagues look at trying to make money.
Yes.
As far as TV contracts.
Yes.
You know, it's no longer gate sales. It's no longer ticket sales. It's not concession stuff. It's not jerseys. It's how much money can you make from your TV contract.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that's all these college guys care about, is trying to sell the playoff to the next big TV contracts so they can get their money. The NFL doesn't have to sell a single ticket, and they all make money. We had somebody, a caller yesterday, bring that up. I apologize, I can't remember his name. But we had somebody bring that up yesterday. These guys don't need to sell a single ticket in the NFL to not make 400 something million per season and just in profit,
right?
Just from TV. So that's what the colleges, that's what all these leagues have shifted their mindset to, is how can we get the most from the TV contracts? And that's all they care about.
Yeah. I mean, they're throwing out, like, you know, in Thamel's piece at ESPN, he's talking about this 28-team format for the college football playoff that would put the top seven teams, seven auto bids from the Big Ten and the SEC, and the ACC and Big 12 would each get five. So you're talking about seven auto bids per conference.
They just want the teams who will get eyeballs.
It's amazing.
They don't care about who deserves to get in. They want the teams who they know people will watch. in Big Ten and the SEC always have the highest TV ratings in the biggest college markets. So that's who gets the most teams in.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, well, for sure.
The Big Ten is also on this obsessive quest to prove that they are a better conference top to bottom than the SEC. And Tony Battiti, I think, is part of the reason because he keeps proposing these cockamamie playoff ideas like this one. And then he had the other one that was a weird format. It wasn't 5-11. It was something other than that. But it was wild.
Oh, it was the 4-2-2.
Yeah, which was ridiculous, which is, and everyone hated except for him. They're on this quest to prove that they're best top to bottom and get more teams in. Like, they want to see their Iowas and their Nebraskas and their mid-tier Big Ten teams get in because the middle-tier SEC teams get in.
And again, like I know when I ask this question, some of it is just going to be subjective. Or, well, tell me whether or not my team's in. But, like, does any college football fan actually want this? Like, is there a college football fan out there that says, oh, yeah, 2018 playoff? Sign me up for it. That'd be awesome. And is there
Probably not
some point where that has to matter? Like, doesn't it have to matter at some point? If nobody wants it in
Show
your fan
the TV
base.
Ratings.
Yeah, I know.
When the games play and it's, you know, Iowa State versus, I don't know, Utah State in the playoff, who, you know, what are the ratings for that?
Yeah.
And then we'll get people will watch and then we'll get our answer.
Hey, look, I'm a culprit here because you put Tennessee and Tennessee's not a great example, but you put a high level college football game
on
somewhere.
Team
I'll
versus,
probably watch it. Yeah. So I mean, I'm part of the problem here. I just sometimes it's kind of amazing to me we can't look around and say, yeah, that's not a good idea. Like we need a common sense coordinator for all of these enterprises here. Just a common sense coordinator. That's what I'm going to call it.
I like it. I like that name. That's a good name.
That's what we're going to go with. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.